Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. I hope you all had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving and holiday season. Everybody is back in the swing of things now and getting ready for Advent. So to prepare for Advent, which is tomorrow, we have a special show for you with Father Agostino. But before we do that, we are going to have a quick minute with our dear friend, Debbie Cowden. So stay tuned.
The first candle on the Advent wreath represents hope. Hope for what? Hi, I'm Debbie Cowden. And when my husband Dave and I wrote the prayer book for tired parents, we wanted to remind other exhausted parents that God is good. And he has good, good plans for us. Even when family life is hard, when things are not going well, even when the world seems to be crumbling around us, the virtue of hope allows us to trust that God will bring good out of even the worst situations. And at a time when things seem really dark, we need Christian hope. We need that reminder of God's goodness. And so a prayer you can pray often is simply, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. For practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven, get the prayer book for tired parents at ewtnrc.com. Back to you, Crystalina.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. Today, our special guest is Father Agostino. And before we get started with him, I would like, if possible, Father, will you lead us in a prayer, please?
It would be my joy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time of preparation, this time, Lord, where our homes are opened, are cleansed, are renewed, so that you may be born again within our hearts. We pray, Lord God, for each and every single person that's hearing this broadcast, may they experience your grace of renewal as well. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father,
Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. So some of the guests might know, some of the listeners might know, because you have a show on EWTN, but a lot of us are familiar with your work and your preaching and conferences that you do, Father, and you're just all over. And also you do pilgrimages with my husband, so I'm more familiar with you as well.
Yes, no, it's a great joy. I've got to meet some of your children on these pilgrimages. It's been a tremendous gift. Yes, yeah, but for those who may not, my name is Father Agostino Torres. I'm a Franciscan friar. I've been given the grace to do a show in English in EWTN and a show in Spanish. Icons in English and Click con Corazón Puro in Spanish. So I kind of joke around, I'm the hardest working man in Catholic television. But that's not true. It's a great gift, and they work so hard over there in EWTN to make everything so easy. And yes, getting around preaching a good bit and trying to also help people prepare their hearts for Christmas and Lent.
And you also have a podcast for the National Eucharistic Revival. Is that correct?
That's correct. So it's called Revive with Father Agostino, and it's just kind of. We're trying to really just listen to people, normal people, not people with like theology degrees, and just kind of like where they're at with the Eucharist. And yeah, and so that's available on through OSV podcasts.
So what are you finding with that? Before we get into this amazing Advent book that you came out with, which is tomorrow, everybody. But that's why I brought Father on. But I'm really actually very interested. How are people kind of accepting this new Eucharistic revival? And where are you seeing people at in your travels in regards to their belief in the Eucharist?
So if I may be so bold, I think I'm very qualified to answer this question, Crystalina, because I have traveled to so many places over this past year, doing Eucharistic congresses, giving talks in English and Spanish. If I could give it in Vietnamese, I would do it too.
Wow.
I have seen such a beautiful, an earnest, a sincere love for Jesus in the Eucharist. People love processions. And anytime the Eucharistic Congress has a procession, it's just like, it just takes it to a whole other level. It's given some diocese an occasion to consecrate the entire diocese to the Eucharist, to the Sacred Heart. Some places have never, some of the largest dioceses in our country have never had a Eucharistic Congress. And I've been so blessed to be a part of the first one. And here, there, everywhere, mostly, you know, I've been traveling a lot to California, Texas, the Southwest, the Southeast. There's tremendous growth. And what we know is the Bible Belt. You know, there's the Catholic Church is absolutely exploding. And it's beautiful. And if there was like questions, if there was, I don't want to use the word doubt, but like, you know, not knowing the teaching, everyone was so open for those things to be cleared up. So this Eucharistic revival is really a Eucharistic reminder, I guess, in so many ways. And,
yeah.
and it's good. We need reminders. We need good reminders.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of bad going on right now, right, in the church. And there's just a lot happening. And I feel like the devil's using it. It's this big smokescreen of, look at this, look how bad, look at everything going on. And we forget about why we're Catholic and what that means to us personally and individually and our own personal relationship with Jesus, and not just Jesus, but Jesus in the Eucharist. And I think people just have a tendency maybe to skip over all of that and kind of take the bait on what's going on in the news cycles and on social media. But then if we kind of take a step back and we really look, okay, well, me individually, why am I Catholic? Why am I doing this? Why do I go to church every Sunday? Why do I try to live the sacraments out? What is the point of it all? And it really goes back to that core of, well, Jesus. It's all about Jesus and my relationship with Jesus and what he created me for and what he's asking me to do and what he wants me to become, right?
Oh, Cristalina, 130,000%. Everything that you're saying. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I was speaking to a diocesan priest and we're talking about the Eucharistic revival and the Eucharistic Congress that's coming up. And he said, oh man, that sounds great. It's going to be a great event. But then he said, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's me with my parishioners, walking with them to Jesus. And I said, brother, I'm not going to argue with you there. But these things are good so that we can all come together as a church. But at the end of the day, even though the news cycles, the clickbait, you know, emphasize, you know, things that are going on that are sad or are disappointing, that's not the whole story. Cristalina, that is not the whole story.
No, it is not. No,
and
it
is
so not.
Beautiful to see the rest of the story.
Right?
It's so beautiful.
And this last weekend, Father, alone, just Christ the King and all the Eucharistic processions that they were having all over the world. It wasn't just in your own local little parish. And I hadn't done that in a really long time. I don't think since I was a little girl. And at first, I'm not going to lie, it felt kind of strange. Like my kids were kind of looking at me and we were doing it. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. I loved it. But I could tell my son's like, what is happening right now? What is going on? And I whispered to him and I said, honey, if only you could see what is really happening in the spiritual realm right now, it would take your breath away. And he just kind of looked at me, right? But we forget that element. We always just kind of stay what's in front of us. But there's so much more going on that Jesus invites us to that I feel like we overlook, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's an experience of faith for the young people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're experiencing according to what they perceive. But I mean, you could tell me, Cristalina, how young people learn. They really learn by experiences. And Mass is great. Mass is of course, you know, the source and summit. But when you're actually like walking and you're walking down the street or something, or cars are going by honking, you know, for good or for ill. Like, it's a different way of living out your faith. And it's good. It's good that our young people also experience these other things. Or if they're altar servers, that they're learning something different about it. Or if they're men that kind of like hang out at the entrance of the church and don't really go in, that they're the ones directing traffic. I love it. There's a role for everyone in processions.
Were you there, Father? Because you're out of New York, right? Were you there at that unbelievably just, it took my breath away. It took my breath away seeing it just on social media, the Eucharistic procession that they had in New York. You know what I'm talking about. Most people know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Were you there?
I was so blessed to be in Orange County, California that weekend, which we had an equally beautiful.
Let's be honest. That was awesome, Father. You took a disappointment. You're like, I was so blessed. That was awesome. I love it. I just learned something from you right there. That was great.
Yeah, I was at the Eucharistic Congress in Orange County that weekend. And so, yeah, coast to coast, Jesus was being adored.
Oh my goodness. That looked like something, I'm not going to lie, out of like Lord of the Rings, of God just calling his army and his people and everyone, like there were sides. And it was just beautiful, though. It really was just so beautiful. So anyway, I just wanted to see if you were there because you are out of New York. So I know you're so part of the Eucharistic revival and you're so faithful to Jesus and so Eucharistic. And I just love that about you, Father. And we can learn a lot from that. But the power of the Eucharist right now, I feel like truly is the most powerful force that we have on this planet to fight against and combat the evil. And people don't even realize what they're missing.
Amen. Amen. In many of my talks, I've been sharing, you know, like with all with all that has happened, with all that we've experienced, with all that we know, Jesus is what the church has to offer. Let's just bring Jesus. It's really that straightforward and beautiful, but how powerful indeed it is, Jesus in the Eucharist, 100% Kristalina.
And so simple. So ABC simple, though, too, Father. I feel like we complicate it with so much. But with that being said, there is an amazing new time in the church happening and actually starting tomorrow. Advent, everybody, starts tomorrow. And Father has come out with the most beautiful kind of just meditation and guide for Advent. And this is something I'm going to do with our family every week. And we're just going to follow along here in your book every night. But it's really beautiful. And it is called Prepare Your Heart, a guided Advent journal for prayer and meditation. So tell us about this book, Father, and just start with what Advent is for those that may not know or like, oh, yeah, I remember that when I was a kid. Or we used to celebrate that. But they're starting to come back into the church now.
Sure thing. Advent is a liturgical season. It's actually the beginning of the liturgical year for, you know, the calendar year. It's January 1st, but for the church, it's the first Sunday of Advent where we begin our new year in preparation for Christmas, December 25th. But it's really 4 weeks of preparation. And there's some confusion. Sometimes some people ask, like, well, it's not a penitential time, is it? It's like, well, historically, it has been a time where we, you know, prepare our hearts by fasting, by, you know, offering some sort of penance. It's almost like cleaning your house. It's like, you know, cleaning your house is a bit of a penance, right? But you do it and, you know, like, you know, somebody's going to come over. You're preparing a meal. You're getting things ready. It's that sense of penitential. It's a joyful anticipation for Jesus who will be born again. It's a preparation for the two comings of Christ, his birth in Bethlehem, but also his coming again in glory. We're remembering that one day Jesus is going to come again and to prepare ourselves for that eventuality, because for the world, it might be tomorrow. For us individually, it might be today. You never know, like they say over here. either way, it's best that we live prepared. And so Advent is a time for us to do this. And if I may, I'm not a liturgist, but the Roman Rite got Advent right. The way Advent is laid out and celebrated, it's just so beautiful, such good liturgy. But I don't think a lot of people know how to kind of enter into it. And so this is a great time to say, you know what? This is going to be my best Advent ever. And so that's why I also, in addition to the book, there's like a resource that's available on the Ave Maria Press website that's completely free that can help families do this. Kristalina, I even put menus in there for Sunday.
No way.
I do.
I'll record it. It's going to be great. I'm not a cook, Father. I'm just not. So this will be great. Tell us about it.
So it's like, okay, so there's the daily, you know, meditations, which is great. But I was thinking, you know, people, this is meant to be lived in family or in like a parish community or like, you know, and so it's a guide for families and groups that has a scripture, a meditation, a prayer, reflection questions. And then some of them have like a craft. So like, you know, families, you know, like, you know, would make like a popsicle stick crèche scene or an Advent wreath, you know, something very simple that they could do to as a family, if that's the context, and then have a meal together. You know, there's a different cultural meal every Sunday of Advent, depending on what the reflection is, because Christmas and Advent, it's so culturally rich. So many different cultures have such beautiful traditions. I was like, I got to find a way to get this in there because it's just so beautiful. And so, yeah, it's you just download the PDF on Ave Maria Press. With my college students, we're doing it and they're loving it.
Wow.
These are like, you know, like 20 something years old, you know, attention span of like a jelly bean.
Yep.
And they are loving it. Again, it's a different, you know, entryway of the faith. And so, yes, that's there. But then also the book, I think the book can be really helpful to just be intentional. Oh, one thing about the guide, I got to say this. I give suggestions. I looked at this again a couple days ago, and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of bold." I'm surprised I wrote that, but I even tell people, get your shopping done today, and then be done with it.
Oh,
get your Christmas cards out this week, and then you're free. Because I don't know about you, Crystalina, but I've just been so rush, even as a priest, of getting all my stuff done, and like, you know, it takes away time to pray. But, you know, if we kind of like have a little bit of a program and like, okay, by the second week of Advent, all my Christmas cards are going to be out. Yes, it's possible. I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, admitted, I confess. And so, you know, to know that there's a program, that there's a way of doing it, it helps me. And hopefully it'll help more people.
And to just be that discipline, right? It's like, let's take this Advent seriously and be disciplined is pretty much what you're saying, and getting these things done. So when you're not praying, you're not distracted with, oh, I've got to do those cards. Oh, I need to get this Christmas present. Oh, what about this, right? It's, you really can stay focused and centered on Advent, on Jesus, and make it a holy time, basically, right?
Yes, but I'm sneaky, Crystalina, because I mix that with prayer. So I say, pray for all the people you're going to send cards to. So when you're writing their address, you're saying a prayer for them. Sneaky.
Ooh, sneaky. I like it. I really like that. Actually, that's a great idea. That's an excellent idea. Again, for those of you just tuning in, we are talking with Father Agostino, who has came out with his Prepare Your Heart, a guided Advent journal for prayer and meditation. And I have the book right here. And even the illustrations are beautiful in this book. And you were just talking about having a free downloaded PDF, like just file that you can print out. And there are different things that you can do each Sunday, different recipes and crafts, even for the children and the family to do all together, right?
Yes, yes. And that's available on the Ave Maria Press website.
Excellent. Now, I'm looking through this book and I'm telling you, it's so well done. And every day there is something for you to do or a prayer. And this is what we're going to be doing here in the Everett household. I'm really excited. We're going to start tomorrow. And every day is something in here, Father. So can you kind of just tell us how you laid this out for everybody?
Absolutely. And I have to share this with you. The whole concept of this came because your husband invited me to go to the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really when we went to Nazareth that the concept of this book kind of came about, because there's just so much there. So much happened in Nazareth. Obviously, you know, Nazareth is an important part of any Holy Land pilgrimage, but I just started going deeper into it and thinking of like, wait, hold on a second. Like, Jesus built stuff in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus spent most of his earthly life in this place and it was hidden. And, you know, in our Franciscan spirituality, there's a beauty towards, an emphasis in holiness growing in things that are ordinary. and seeing how that ordinariness is actually a place of growth. I mean, a tree grows. You know, we don't see it grow, but it grows. And there's a silence to the growth of a tree. In the same way, there's a silence to growth in holiness. And I was like, yo, I got to go in there with Nazareth. And so when I was there with your husband and your son, it was just such a beautiful time of prayer and meditation that a lot of it kind of found its way into the first week of Advent, which is the Way of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. The second is the Way of the Saints, which there's so many awesome saints during Advent in December. Sometimes they get skipped over
Didn't even know it. I'm going to be honest. I was looking through your book and I'm like, really? That saint and that saint? You're right. You're absolutely right. And to bring them forth, I think was so smart of you, because a lot of people have no idea these little saint feast days are in there.
They're so much fun. They're colorful. These saints, I was like, yo, you guys, you made it to December. You know, like, I think if you're a saint in December, it's like, wow, it's really, you know, like top shelf sort of stuff. but I obviously could have done a lot more. Like, I didn't even include Saint Maximilian. I could have done that, but there's definitely so many awesome saints there. Then the third week is the Way of Saint Joseph, and then the fourth week is the Way of Mary. And obviously, I love Our Lady, and she finds her way all the way through. But I'm not sure exactly. Maybe it's just the stage of life I'm in. But when I was thinking and meditating, I had never imagined Advent from the perspective of Joseph.
Oh, well, let's get into that, Father. What kind of reflections did you kind of come up with?
Well, I'll share this one. There was Pope Francis came out with a letter on Saint Joseph a couple years ago, and he coined a phrase, creative courage. And so I was just like, okay, what is Saint Joseph's creative courage? And sometimes, you know, Saint Joseph is depicted a little bit like, oh, well, he couldn't find a place in Bethlehem, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, just like the silent guy that you know, things just happen. But like, wait, hold on, no, he was a man, he was a husband, and this was his hometown. This is where he was from, so he probably was going to his aunts and his uncles. Asking, and he was getting turned away from by his family, and they were saying, "There's no room." What is creative courage? I was just thinking, you know, Saint Joseph had to have had a sense of humor. I mean, like, if an angel appears to you twice, like, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. You have to. If you grow up with the Incarnate Word and the Immaculate Conception, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, right? And so I was just thinking, Saint Joseph, every time that he got turned away, he turned to Mary and he says, "You know what? I didn't want to stay here anyway. You know, the house, it's way too small.
Yeah.
We need a bigger place. Don't you worry, Mary. We're going to find a bigger place." And he would just make her smile after each time they were turned away. And then when they got shown the stable, he just went right into action. It's like, oh, this magnificent palace. Oh, Duke Donkey. Wonderful that you've greeted us. Make way for the coming of the Lord. You know, just imagining Joseph with like that personality and him bringing joy and encouragement, you know, to Our Lady. And it just helped me see more of who Joseph is. And it's my favorite part of the book.
I love it. That was great. No, I've never thought of that. And I know a lot of people probably have never thought of that. We just think of Saint Joseph, or at least the way he's really predicted a lot of the times, of this old man, you know, just taking care of Mary, just kind of getting through. But what you're describing is really this strapping husband who is there and present and a protector and trying to make light and the best situation out of something that's very hard to go through. And a lot of people, I think, overlook that, especially in St. Joseph. And I love how you have highlighted him in this book, Father. It's wonderful. And a lot of the time, I think, especially during Advent, when it's all about Jesus and the Christmas season and all that hoopla, a lot of the other things kind of get pushed to the side, right? And we don't really think about that. And we do think about the Holy Family and the Nativity, but the focus really is on Jesus and Christmas and his birthday. And a lot of the kids, let's be honest, it's all about the gifts and presents and Santa Claus, Santa coming, right? Which we want to kind of overlook that this year and maybe take this Advent a little different direction than people typically do, especially in Catholic households. But before we get more into it with you, Father, we're going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. And for those of you just tuning in, we are here with Father Agostino, and we are discussing Advent, which actually starts tomorrow, everybody. And he has come out with a book, Prepare Your Heart, a guided Advent journal for prayer and meditation. But also with that, you can download recipes and crafts and different things that you can do each week with your family, which I am definitely going to download those, Father. And we are going to just dive right into all of this for Advent. So I guess I need to do that today to start tomorrow. But where can they get that downloaded guide?
It's available on Ave Maria Press website, and it should be pretty prompt. Just look up Prepare Your Heart, and there's resources connected to it.
Oh, and I love the video that you did as well. It really kind of got me excited for all of this. So also just watch that small little video that Father did. It's beautiful. And even the music and illustrations that went along with it. I loved it. Now, Father, what are some things that people can do in their lives that maybe want to just to kind of help them shift a little bit, right? Out of just that worldly sense of what Christmas is and just the consumption of just going shopping and Santa Claus and just kind of the distractions of this season where we're always pulled, but to kind of center and focus on Jesus and his birthday and the season and make this Advent the best one that maybe we've ever had and the most holy-centered Advent that we can, because it is like a mini Lent almost, let's be honest.
Yeah, no, it is, and appropriately so. God was born. God was born in Bethlehem. This is an important event that we should prepare our hearts for. This is definitely something of note. And yeah, things... obviously every family situation is different, you know, and everybody, but there's some things that are just evergreen, you know. If we just think of something haphazardly and say like, oh, maybe I'll do this, it doesn't really happen. So I just encourage you, you know, right before Advent, write down two things that you're going to do this Advent, just two, not three. Just stick to two. Let's stick to two. And is it going to be praying more? Is it going to be some sort of, you know, no sweets other than on Sundays or something like that? I don't know. You know, everybody knows their life, everybody. But I invite you to kind of challenge yourself. One thing I've told a lot of people is that we just have to find a way to wake up before the kids wake up and spend 15 minutes in prayer. And I know for some homes that's really hard, but I know in most homes, it's the only way. And you know, 10, 15 minutes of prayer, and then it really sets the tone for the rest of your day. And if people do that every single day of Advent, wow. Wow. But I really think something very important is we have to bring Advent into our home. Because sometimes it's like, yeah, the church is decorated and like, oh, we'll decorate our house. But like to bring Advent to your home is to have an Advent wreath at your table and to, you know, sing a verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel and to light one of the candles. And like there's like this buildup to Advent, to for Christmas, that is felt in the home. And I think that's really important, because sometimes it can kind of just be what we do at church and not so much what we experience within our homes. And then on top of that, there's so many beautiful traditions. Did you know, Cristalina, that the piñata was actually invented for Advent? Not a lot of people know that.
Father, I can't believe you just brought up piñatas, because I love piñatas. I have piñatas at every birthday and Christmas I try. And every birthday, everyone's like, okay, where's the piñata, Mom? And they get me a piñata for my birthday. And I have a unicorn piñata that they got me when I turned 40. Yes, I am 40, but I'm actually much older than that. But Father, I love piñatas. Please tell me about the piñata.
Well, you'll be happy to know. I'm going to send you an email with all the stuff right after this.
Yes.
I break it down. I explain how it started. And so the original piñata had like seven. It looked like a star with 7 points. Mm. And actually, the missionaries, it was the Augustinian monks in Mexico. They said, like, okay, we got to figure this out. And so they said that this piñata is like the 7 deadly sins.
No.
Because they're attractive. They look good. But what you do is you take the stick of virtue and you whack it.
Wow.
And then when you hit it, then the graces come flowing down. And it's just like a little catechism that's really stood the test of time. And this is what was done from the 17th to the 24th, when people would pray the novena. So people would pray the novena prayers. That's from the 17th to the 24th is like a time when the entire church is praying the 9 days before Christmas in a more concerted way. And people would do this in their homes. And then afterwards, they would have a piñata, and they would have, all these other things. And many, many, many cultures do it different ways, but that's how it's done in Mexico. So it's all broken down. I'm going to send it right away to you so we can tell the story.
And I'm getting a piñata for the 9th day, Father. We're doing this, and I'm going to tell my kids after the novena, it's piñata time. And Father says so.
This is totally Catholic. It's beautiful.
I love it. You just spoke to my heart. I think that's hilarious, but wonderful at the same time. Okay, Father, I warned people before Thanksgiving on my radio show, be aware and be on guard, because during the holiday seasons, I feel like that is when the evil one creeps up on us with old habits, with those smells, or you're decorating the tree, you're listening to that music that brings up different feelings and memories, and maybe that person that did it, that used to smoke or drink or whatever, just thought, oh, well, just while I decorate my tree, or maybe that person called that's in town that hasn't been because the holiday, or they're back from college, and they go and they meet them, even though they know that's not going to end well, or they have no business seeing those people or going to those places. You know what I mean? Like, it's a time also where I feel like we really need to guard our hearts and to guard our soul, and just to be aware, because it's so easy, because it's comfortable and it's just familiar. And I feel like we're kind of weak in those moments because we kind of gravitate towards those things of being nostalgic sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yes. I've been a priest for 15 years, and can kind of, you end up seeing a whole bunch of different scenarios and situations. I think at the end of the day, let's not forget ourselves at any moment. And sometimes there's certain structures or certain contexts that help us live virtue. That's not wrong. But when we are separated from those contexts, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, kind of like how when people go on vacation, they kind of go crazy. You know, like, and that's just not who we are. You know, this is also part of the reason why, you know, when we internalize Christ, not just being born in Bethlehem, but being born in our hearts, like this travels well, because it means anywhere we go, we are cognizant of who we are and who Christ is, and who the world is begging for us to be. And so in those moments of temptation, come,
Yes.
Don't be surprised by that. Don't be scandalized by the temptation. I mean, the devil's going to try. But just remember who you are. And if you have to, all you got to think is all the drama and all the unneeded heartache that would come after the fact if you actually did what you were tempted to do. Oh my gosh. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I know.
It's not worth it.
No.
It's just so not worth it on so many levels, to say nothing about the level of salvation of our souls. But, you know, just even emotionally, mental health-wise, it's just, it's a time when, you know, we do feel more acutely our need to be loved. And perhaps there's some wounds there that might be getting filled in unhealthy ways. Let's just be patient with what God is doing, because ultimately his healing is better than anything that, the world might offer. Is that along the lines of what you're thinking?
Yes,
as an answer?
Exactly. That was perfect. And also today is Saturday, and every show I remind my listeners to go to confession. And this would honestly, everybody out there, this is such a perfect opportunity today to go to confession, because tomorrow Advent starts, and how amazing and beautiful to start it off right and just be right with God, and to just start this holy season off, just getting everything off your chest, giving everything over to God, and just going to bed tonight in peace. But most places in the United States, typically around in the afternoon, Father, right, is confession, and anybody can go to confession at a parish near them.
Absolutely. Yes. And a lot of parishes are going to have Advent penance services, and where they're going to invite a whole bunch of priests over. And so sometimes people say like, oh, I can't go to confession to Father. I mean, he sees me every Sunday. Yeah. Like, well, honestly, priests are so forgetful. You need not worry about that. Let me just say that. But it's not even about that. As you know, confession, you know, whatever said into confession is said to Jesus himself. And so the priest doesn't even judge you, doesn't even look at you differently outside of the confessional. That's not even the case. But if you need a little push to get to confession and you want to go to confession to a priest you've never met before who will never see you again, look for those Advent penance services and sign yourself right up, because there'll be a lot of priests there who can hear your confession. But everyone should really go to confession before Christmas. This is something very, very important.
Right. And what a gift to Jesus. That is such a gift to Jesus. And I did hear someone say, I hear it every year, like the one thing Jesus would want more than anything is your sin. Right. Before his birthday, just give him his sin and he'll be happy. Go to confession and just be right with him. And then he really can enter into your heart. But I hear that every Christmas, Father. I don't know. Maybe it's just me and my ears out for it. I don't know.
Oh, how beautiful, huh? That kind of touched me. You know, we're thinking about all these other good gifts, and he just wants our sins so he can give us his mercy. Mm-hmm. Oh, how he loves us.
He does, Father. Can you explain what an Advent wreath is? Because some people really don't know what that's all about. And they see it in the church and they hear about it, but maybe they're just coming back to the church, or they had a conversion and they are just entering into the church. So can you explain what is an Advent wreath?
Sure thing. So the history of wreaths goes back thousands and thousands of years, right? A wreath is some leaves that are woven together. It's what they put on the Olympians who won before gold medals and stuff like that. They would give them wreaths. Mm. They would put the little crown, like kind of like the Caesar thing, the on the emperors, you know, that was like their little crown. With all those traditions needing to be baptized, the church saw in Advent really a wreath preparing for the victory that would be won by the incarnation.
Wow.
And the Paschal mystery. And so this wreath, which for most of us here in North America is made of pines, in other parts of the world, I've seen a couple cool things. I've seen it of palms. I've seen it of just like laurels, just different greenery. And they put four candles, three purple and one rose. I prefer to use the term rose, as some people call it pink. And it marks the different Sundays of Advent. And so the first Sunday of Advent, one candle is lit. Second, there's two. The third is called Gaudete Sunday, which is where the priest traditionally would wear rose vestments. And it's kind of like a, hey guys, he's almost here kind of thing. It's like, wow, okay. Kind of like get into a fever pitch of like, wow, he's actually coming. This is going to happen. This is happening. Oh, let's do this. And then the fourth Sunday. Some parishes put like a white candle in the center that they light on Christmas. But that's optional. And this is done in every parish, but it's also something that you can do in your own home. And there's different traditions too. I remember when I was a postulant with the friars, one of the brothers, he had this tradition in his family where they would have 24 candles. Like they would make this huge, like 2x4 with, and they would drill all these holes and they would light a candle on each day of December. And we would sing a song on every day. We sang O Come, O Come, Emmanuel so many times, Kristalina. Like I have it memorized backwards, you know, but it was beautiful. He brought that tradition from his family, you know, into the friars. That was probably the last time we ever did that. But nonetheless, it was a beautiful tradition. But one thing that we always do is we do have our Advent wreath at our table from the altar to the table. There's a real connection.
So the dinner table, basically, you have it at the center of the table and you light it at dinner time.
That's correct.
Okay. I mean, we do it at night prayer and we're doing it then, but maybe that's a good idea. Just put it right there in the center of the table. And then you kind of just remind yourselves to be, it's a holy time and it's a holy season and to bring your family together. So that's an excellent idea, Father. I love that. If you don't mind me asking, just a little bit off topic of Advent, but it still kind of goes with it. Father, what made you want to become a priest?
So in high school, I experienced a conversion when I went to World Youth Day in Denver in 1993.
I was there. Yes. Pope John Paul II. It's amazing.
You were all of 5 years old at that time, Kristalina. It's okay. So you know, they brought some little kids along.
I was 12, Father. But I was still a baby.
I was like 17, 16, going on 17, something like that.
Wow.
And Pope John Paul II just spoke a word to my heart. He, at the end of the Mass at Cherry Creek State Park, he came up to the mic completely spontaneous. And he said, in my homily, I said, do not be ashamed of the gospel. And he was quoting Romans, right? And he said, I say now, not do not be ashamed. I say now, be proud of the gospel. Honestly, I realized like I wasn't proud of the gospel. And I was living my life kind of like, you know, halfway. And it gave me a way to be. And I thought, I want to live my life now being proud of the gospel. And so that led me to praying on my own. That led me to going to Mass other than on Sunday. And I had no inkling that a call to the priesthood was somewhere in the works. I was just praying sincerely. I just said, you know, Lord, you know, I know you've created me for something. Can you show me what that is? And then slowly but surely, you know, I began to feel this call. And I was just like, really? Are you sure? I had to kind of also grow in understanding that God's call is really a call to deep relationship. That it's not like he's not going to just call somebody because they're qualified, but no, he equips those who are called. And so it was, I was just about to go to college, and there in college, you know, that continued to grow. And I realized that, you know, that this calling is from God, not me. And even though I'm a wounded, broken man in many ways that have many flaws, that even still, you know, his glory shines through. And so I said, Lord, yes, I say yes. If you will be with me, if you will guide me, if you will help me, I will say yes. And that's kind of my, that's kind of why I said yes to be a priest.
Was it so scary at first, Father? I know there's so many people out there that are afraid and they're distracting themselves right now. And I just felt called to ask you that question because I know they see kind of what's going on in the church and there's, it's a lot of fear based that's holding them back. And maybe just during this time of Advent that they really just maybe embrace God's will in their life and just kind of put a lot of things aside and embrace this holy time. And maybe it will help them to kind of overcome that fear. But anyone that's maybe knows in their heart, they have that call, but they're fearful. Can you speak to that?
Oh, yes, I can. if there's somebody who feels the call, but is like, oh, no, but I want to get married, you know, mm-hmm. Let me find a boyfriend, let me find a girlfriend, mm-hmm. Let me look for, and you end up kind of like projecting onto the world what you think that you want. And and I tried that. And, you know, it's like, no, look, this is what I want. And it's almost as if God was like, okay, if this is what you want, you can have it. Mm. And it was almost like, it still doesn't go away. It's like this nudge, this something, you know, within me, as Saint John of the Cross had this phrase. This is "yo no sé qué." Literally, is like "I don't know what." This "I don't know what," that continues to kind of like, you know, just be there. And when people are discerning, I kind of in jest, I say like, "Yeah, well, you know, how do you know you're called? Well, you tried to kill it and it didn't die. You know, it's still there. Mm-hmm. There's something beyond just you." And if it's something beyond just you, God, in freedom, God will respect your freedom. He will. And it's not like, I mean, vocation directors are going to kill me for saying this, but like, you know, you have the freedom to choose. And so if you choose to get married, praise God. Be a holy husband. Be a holy wife. Praise God. But if God is calling you to the priesthood or to the religious life, this is a tremendous thing. And I will pray that you stop running if you're listening to this and it's you that we're talking about.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Father. That's what needed to be said right there. So that was perfect. Wonderful. Everyone, again, for those of you that are just maybe tuning in, we are actually discussing Advent right now. And we are discussing Father Agostino's book, Prepare Your Heart, A Guided Advent Journal for Prayer and Meditation. And this would be an excellent book, honestly, to go into adoration with, to visit Jesus during this time. Adoration, absolutely, Father, transformed me as a woman my entire life, especially when I was living that crazy, just very sinful, worldly life. There was that nudge. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you can't silence it. You just can't. No matter what you do, or how much you drink, or whatever you're doing, it will not go away, right? Yeah. And we can ignore it and act like it's not there, but there always is that nudge. And it's just a good time right now during Advent, maybe to go spend time with Jesus and become incredibly Eucharistic during the month of December. And imagine how a person's life can transform if they just spend time in front of Jesus as much as they can during December. Their entire life would change, I think, right?
I agree. If people need a little bit of measure, you know, spend as much time before the Blessed Sacrament as you do shopping.
Oh, that hurt.
There you go. The world hunger will end.
That was perfection. That was great. We needed that little just smack right there. That was great because it's true. It's absolutely true. How much time are we spending on all of the worldly things? And then how much time are we giving to Jesus? So talk about being measured. That was it right there, Father. So thank you for that. That was very good. Do you have any other advice for us before we wrap it up here that we could do during Advent besides your book?
Take your personal time, incorporate prayer in the stuff that you already do. You know, if your kids are kind of kicking and screaming about, you know, some prayers that they got to do, just like make it part of, this is part of the air that we breathe. You know, we're going to pray before Sunday meals. We're going to pray, around Christmas time. And then people, you know, do what you do. But like, you know, kind of going back to the piñata, like this is something fun, but it's also us living our faith. Mm-hmm. And so find ways to kind of like hybrid live your faith in what we're already doing for Advent and in preparation for Christmas. If I can also challenge, like, I'm a stickler for this. I reserve Christmas songs for Christmas. I know it's hard, you know, like they're already playing all the Christmas songs and there's so many classics, but put an Advent playlist together so that you can play all the cool Advent songs that are out there when you're gift wrapping and stuff like that, to kind of like try to preserve this season is something that's a personal pet peeve. So that's something, but it's cool. Like, and then when we finally sing the Christmas songs, it's just like, yes, aww, Christmas.
Entering into it. That's beautiful. That's great. Yeah. That's great, Father. If people want to learn just more about you and what you're doing and just amazing books like this that you've written, where can they find you?
You can find me on Corazón Puro. It means pure heart in Spanish, corazonpuro.org. That's the nonprofit organization that I helped to found. And also FranciscanFriars.com, the CFR website. Those are two places where you can find me, locate me, follow me on Instagram at Corazón Puro NYC. And always try to post more information and more stuff like that. So those are places you can find me.
Thank you, Father. And before we go, can you give me and my listeners a blessing?
With great joy, the Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, shed his light upon you, and give you his peace. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Advent. God bless you.
Thank you, Christalina. God bless.
Thank my guest again, Father Agostino, for being here. And if you would like to know more about what he does and the PDF file, everything he was talking about, I'm going to put that on my Instagram and have the link there in my stories for you today. And then also, we have a Women Made New EWTN free online learning series. And we have several unbelievable contributors that are a part of this. But I will let Cameron Fred tell us more about it. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and God bless.
Hi, y'all. I'm Cameron Frad, and I am here in Alabama recording at EWTN. We are recording a 8-part series, Women Made New. It's amazing. I would love for you to join us and be a part of it. I have other amazing, wonderful, beautiful people that are participating in it, such as Christalina Everett, Teresa Tomio, and others have put together this amazing free 8-part series for you. So please join us. Check out EWTN.com/womenmadenew.